Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at ringsradio.com, with a special thanks to unfilteredmma.com. I am... What?
This isn't Rear Naked Radio, man.
Rings Radio. See, it's still that platform.
That's right. You've driven back in time with us.
Welcome to this week's edition of Rings Radio, your weekly... I said the website was correct, though.
Yeah, that's right.
I am Paul Scorcher Laporte. With me, as always, my co-host Jeff Shooter Graham, Derek the Pump Monkey Kenny, and the raindrops keep falling on his head, Blake the Smoky White Devil Bowman. Good Lord.
That's me. I apologize for all bad sound quality. My fault. I'm on a cell phone driving down the western coast of Florida in torrential downpour, so all you'll hear is rain and windshield wipers and people going slow and... According to the sign I'm seeing right now, road work for the next 34 miles. Excellent.
So if you're listening, you may be hearing the last gasp. You never know what might actually happen to him in this storm.
Blake Bowman's last minutes. Yep.
That's right.
I, Blake Bowman, being of sound body and mind, do hereby leave this radio interview as my last hurrah.
That's all right. All right, we got a big show lined up for you. Shooter's return, so he's going to celebrate his return with an addition to Shooter's sack.
Yep.
And a cake.
Going to be interviewing Bellator heavyweight Cole Conrad.
Yes, Cole King Conrad will be joining us.
And we'll be going over UFC 117. I told you, asses, it was a lock.
Yeah, okay, it was a lock.
It was a lock. He won.
Okay.
Talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later. Hey, does anyone know anyone by the name of Bjorn? Bjorn.
I know Bjorn.
And I know Bjorn. Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. I must have listened to the wrong show last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's right.
Let's go ahead. Also, want to make a small correction. Last week, the name of one of our sponsors, their website is GPPMMA.com.
I thought GPPUSA got you there.
Yeah, it's Ground and Pound USA.
Okay.
It's their alternate site.
Ground and Pound, guys, you got to straighten this out.
The new site designed by web mistress Shannon Hale is GPPMMA.com, and in my opinion, it looks a lot nicer. But anyway.
Right.
Okay.
All right, shall we move on to the sack?
Yeah, play that sack music, buddy.
Who's channeling? Team Toll to Worlds.
Shooter sack.
Shooter sack.
Shooter sack.
That's right, everybody. The song you sing yourself to sleep with at night, Shooter sack. Hi. I'm Jeff
Putnam, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Sunday, August 8th, and I'm here to talk to you about MMA. Anderson Silva does not want to fight at 205 pounds. Next headline.
Okay. Who does?
And here's a question. Why, on my copy of Ultimate Fighting or UFC 2010 Undisputed, why is Ryan Bader so damn undefeatable?
Awesome,
can't
right?
Beat Ryan Bader, man. No matter who I am.
Because he will be. He will be very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Also, in Blizzak's nutsack or whatever it's called today, Anderson Silva also doesn't want to fight at 170 because GSP and John Fitch are both there and they can defend submission. All right, continue with what you're going to say.
They can defend submission and take people down. Uh-oh.
Another reason why Jake
that?
Shields
won.
Because they can also take people down.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's worried about Jake Shields.
They can have Dan Henderson.
They can have a not finish or do any damage festival together. Anderson Silva can run around and backhand him and kick him in the shin, and then Jake Shields can take him down, mount him, rain down 50 punches, yet not manage to actually stun him. Rinse, lather, repeat.
Oh, man. Let's see. What else? Frank Shamrock says Tito Ortiz was his toughest physical fight. Does anyone care?
Not really.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about 2001 next.
Speaking of Tito Ortiz, Tito Ortiz slammed
that. Next.
hey, this is my sack.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway. Yeah, it says Tito slams Matt Hamill's handicap. I don't know how you slam a deaf guy. He's not going to hear you anyway. But
well,
okay. So he basically said, he goes, he's deaf, so he has a soft head. And you hit him with more and more shots. He says Matt Hamill's deaf, so he has a soft head.
So what studies did he reference to back this claim up that deaf people have soft heads?
I don't know. He goes on to say, he tells Boss Rutan that Matt Hamill was babied his whole life because he's deaf. And he's going to be babied after I knock him out, and he's looking for his Snuggie.
What the? Okay.
What? All right. All right, man. Whatever.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Deaf people have soft heads.
Jenna Jameson, of course, has taken up for Tito all over Twitter, saying that, ha ha, take that. And some guy came out against Jenna, and she came back with the awesome comeback. Well, you know, Hamill, they said it's really stupid of Tito to trash talk a deaf guy. And Jenna comes up with, well, yeah, he's deaf, but he can still read. At least I think he can.
Ooh,
nice.
Oh. Clever.
Couple of the year.
Jenna is not hearing impaired, so she has a soft vagina.
She had reconstructive surgery, man.
Yeah, well, all right.
Things you learn on the internet. Okay. Oh, my God. Hey, guys, the latest on Dave Bautista's MMA debut. Everybody wants to hear about this.
Who?
Yeah.
Dave Bautista, pro wrestler.
Oh, Bautista. Yeah, good. Maybe Bautista. He can go against Lesnar for the title. I can't wait.
Bautista, Lesnar. Okay. And once again, it comes from that bastion of MMA reporting, TMZ.
Yeah.
Yep. They're on the ball.
Yeah, Strikeforce is trying to put together a fight between him and Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley would smash him.
I was going to say,
I have a doubt in my mind.
Lashley's 45.
Yeah, he's in his mid-40s. Oh, you should also mention that Lashley's supposed to fight here August 21st against Chad Griggs at Strikeforce. But, you know, but yeah, they're trying real hard to put that fight together by the end of the year.
Great. Way to give the fans what they want.
Not only that, but I mean, what? How is that? I mean, if you were Lashley, honestly, would you even take that fight? I mean, especially you're out there trying to say what a professional you are and how you take this seriously.
Yeah, man, exactly. He's like, you know, I want the tough fights. I want to prove that I'm championship material. Here, let me fight this former bodybuilder turned pro wrestler with a belly button tattoo. I should do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But Bautista
doesn't have any, like, real credentials, right? I mean, he was a bodybuilder for, like, 20 years or something, right?
Yeah, right, as far as I know. Yeah, he wasn't a wrestler or anything. He doesn't have any background in martial arts that I know of.
Yeah. Whereas Lashley, a spectacular wrestling credentials. So it should be a lot of, you know, takedown, smash, change the channel type of fight.
Yeah. I mean, I've trained with Lashley. I understand how good his wrestling is. And it's definitely proof whenever he talks to the 155er across the cage. That shows me how good he is. Good. Thanks a lot for pairing me with Bobby Lashley. Oh, I get to hold the tennis ball so that I can't use grips? That makes sense. Bobby has double unders? Yeah, you're in deep trouble, buddy.
Give
the All-American wrestler the dominant clinch and give me tennis ball so I can't even re-pummel.
It's fair.
What's my goal here? Oh, don't get taken down? Yeah, no problem. I'll get right on that, Conan. Thanks.
Oh, man. Let's see. Okay, for those of you who...
Training at ATT. We build champions, but we also build inside jokes.
Okay, speaking of ATT, those of you who don't know, last night, Thiago Alves fought John Fitch. It was fought at a catch weight because Alves missed weight.
71.5.
Yeah, well, of a half. And to be fair, you know, Fitch was pretty cool about it because he's like, yeah, California, they use a digital scale and, you know, it figures heavy and everything. Of course, Dana White had something to say about that. Well, that's much crap. And basically, Dana's hinting that he's not going to allow Thiago to fight at 170 anymore. That he's going to make
really?
Him fight at 180. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Now, he didn't come right out and say, I will do this. But he hints around about it. Like, he thinks, yeah, he should just fight at 185. I know he can make that weight. 170 is too tough. And, you know, yeah, he made 170.
I know he can make that weight because he was walking around at, like, 180 like a week ago.
Right. So, I mean, that's what I don't understand. I just don't get. You know? I don't get why. And then in 2 hours, you can't cut a half pound?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, just basic living... Living will take half a pound off you in 2 hours. You don't have to chew gum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you got to do is just exist. Your heartbeat will take off half a pound in a couple hours.
Right. Yeah,
I don't know.
It's got to be something. You can go rub one out in the bathroom and lose that weight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. God, everything I have here relates to 117, which I mean we'll
yeah.
go over later.
Which already happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's happened, and we'll be talking about it later. Trying to think what else we got. Have you guys heard any great rumors while I'm looking here? Anything, Derek? Scorcho, if you're alive.
Nothing spectacular. I mean, there's a little bit of talk of Sonnen Silva too, but I mean, nothing like really of note.
Yeah, I heard. I also heard that Shane Carwin is possibly on tap for Roy Nelson's next opponent. So,
whoopee.
Oh, here we go.
Heavyweight, cool.
Ken Shamrock's son, Sean, wins his first fight in King of the Cage.
Right on.
Wow. Good for him.
Man. So the real news here is that Ken Shamrock has a son holding up a fight. MMA is officially established.
Yeah, they say Sean is a talent and prodigy of his father, Hall of Famer and legend, Ken Shamrock.
He has the talent of his father? That doesn't bode well for him in the new sport of MMA.
Hey, he won by step-out head kick in 156 of the first round. Nice. And his opponent was
so
Lucas Boulay.
That doesn't sound the talent of his father at all.
Exactly.
That sounds like a legitimate modern-day mixed martial artist. You mean he didn't fall back from top part of guard into a stand to a double heel hook?
No, it didn't happen.
Impressed not am I.
It should be mentioned that Sean took this fight on less than 2 weeks' notice to fill in for his injured brother, Ryan Shamrock. Those fighting Shamrocks. Go,
yep. Does either one have braces?
I don't know.
Like Uncle Frank?
Uncle Frank's retired. Come on, Blake. Don't make fun.
The keys to victory for this fight is going to be the arm bar. Shut up.
I personally hate Jake Shields. I hope he dies. I hope Dan Henderson killed him. End of the fight. I am a huge Jake Shields fan.
What an amazing display of nothing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Last thing I have in the sack. Friend of the show, Dan Severn. We all love... has earned his 94th victory in the cage. He fought last Friday, King of the Cage lockdown card. It was a 14-fight lineup. He fought on it at 52 years of age. Severn hit the cage for the third time this year, all three bouts ending in Severn's favor, and earned a second-round stoppage over the outclassed Chad Olmstead. His career record stands right now at 94-16-7.
God, that is so ridiculous.
Oh, man. And the funny thing is,
117 fights.
Oh, and that's nothing. He says that a lot of his fights, you know, happened before the internet.
All on his record, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't there. You know, they didn't take place.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe that. Not to mention that Severn has, what, like 50 national wrestling titles between Greco freestyle and folk style?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Come on, man. I mean, like, his voice is fun to make fun of, but you got to respect that guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what a stud, man.
The funny thing was, he was the third card out of the main event, too. The main event for this card was Garrett Davis and some other dude.
Must have been good.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, all right, Scorcho, I know you're listening, so go ahead, hit the music. I'm done with the sack. Let's move on to more important things like Cole Conrad. The sack was brought to you this week by our friends at www.fightmichigan.com. Also, be sure to check out our sponsors at gppmma.com, as well as our friends at Ohio Martial Arts at ohiomartialarts.com for a more traditional approach to mixed martial arts. Booyah! Oh, yeah. Okay. How's the road out there, Blake?
I mean, the road's actually pretty good. It's still raining, but the road's not... No, it's wet. I mean, it's wet. Wait, that's dumb. The road's wet. It doesn't have standing water, so it's not that bad, you know?
Mm, that's good.
I mean, I'm doing 70, and the road's pretty empty, so as long as nobody's splashing water on my car, I'm fine.
All right.
But this guy keeps splashing water on my car with his stupid clouds as I shake my fist at thee and honk my
have
horn.
At thee! Have at thee!
I just honk my horn at the cloud. Speaking of the road that I'm traveling on right now, to the guy, I saw a guy earlier. I got off the freeway to get some gas, and there was a guy who was wearing like old Reebok sneakers, no socks, no shirt, a pair of Amp Energy Drink board shorts, a Superman emblem tattooed across his chest, but only in outline ink, with flames coming off it, also only in outline ink, and the words "Bad Boy" across his back, and in old English lettering. So to you, sir, I salute you, because the world doesn't have enough douchebags. So I hope that you can form a gang of people that look like you. And if you're listening and that offended you, good. All right, continue with what you were going to say.
That's all right. I just came back from the wonderful state of Wisconsin, land of goats and cheese, and they've never even heard of mixed martial arts in that state. So.
Oh, P.S. P.S. He was standing in the rain. All right, next. He was standing in the rain on his cell phone trying to put his prepaid minutes he just bought inside the gas station onto his phone. So not only was he super cool with no shirt on and his Amp Energy Drink swimming trunks, but he also didn't have enough sense to use the awning to not be in the rain. Or, I don't know, get in his car? I don't know. But what do I care? I don't. All right, sorry. What are we doing now? We're calling somebody. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to call Cole King Conrad, and Derek's going to take over on the interview side of things. I'll say hi to him and do all that meet and greet stuff, and then I'll gracefully step to the side and let our own Das Pump Monkey take care of it.
Okay. This is a different Conrad than the one that runs the boards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very different Conrad.
He doesn't run the boards anymore.
Oh. Sorry. Oops.
We upgraded for a webmaster with breasts.
Conrad had breasts.
Oh, come on, man.
Whip, 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 whip. I'm kidding. I've never actually seen Conrad shirtless. I can't confirm nor deny that claim. All right. Well, let's call him. In the radio industry, we call this dead air.
It is dead air.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Scorcho can't talk. He's trying to talk, but he can't talk.
Yeah,
why not? Do you have a phone? You have one to ignore?
No, he actually is hosting the call. He could ignore all of us, but for some reason he just isn't coming through. So he's raging away at on Skype here. I can't talk, dude. I literally can't talk. Fuck, fuck, fuck. fine, you guys run the show. I'll just run the boards. I didn't say fuck. Eric did. Okay, anyway, all right, Scorcho. Well, since we are still recording and things are going well, yeah, as well as they go for us, let's go ahead and why don't you plug in that number for me, unless you want to do something different.
Maybe.
Right.
Oh, Scorcho, even though you can't respond to me, I'm probably going to go to the Bill Dolphins game this year, so I'll be rooting against your team. Just wanted to let you know that.
Okay.
So, do you have anything to say about that? Oh, didn't think so.
Didn't think so. Do you, tough guy.
Yep.
The Buffalo Bills Dolphins game he's going to.
Yeah. It's football. It's a sport that I don't care about either.
Yeah, he basically said, screw football. He doesn't care about it. So.
Yeah.
The number I gave you doesn't work. What? You didn't take the extra 9 out of it, clown. Or did you?
Hard.
Look at it.
Looking.
I don't know what the number is, so.
It's 10-digit dialing. not that hard.
Best show ever.
We got a lot of stuff to cut out.
Well, then, no, I'll just take this dead air moment to say go that anybody that's been. There we go. A little yakety smack never hurt anybody.
Fuck you guys.
Rich Randolph is the man. There you are.
Hey!
Hey!
What happened?
Okay, yes.
We knew that song would draw you out of hiding.
All right, here's Cole Conrad. Talk.
Okay.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Cole Conrad, he heard about the show. He's done.
Wouldn't blame him.
Man, I'm in the middle of nowhere.
It's great radio.
Hi, you reached Cole Conrad. Unavailable to take your complaint. Please leave and take the number, and I'll give you a call back.
I'll leave you a message.
All right.
Thank you.
Hi, Cole Conrad. It's Jeff Shooter Graham from Rings Radio. If I had actually, in fact, reached you, we'd be doing an interview right now, like the one I just texted you about. Anyway, when you get this message, could you please text me back at my number that I texted you at earlier? Thanks. Have a good day. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, right to have this guy on, something happens, man.
And you know what? I could use a bunch of chicks and just like garter belts and brassieres with keys up 70 banks running around and like stop motion chasing me somewhere.
Yeah, chasing you with billy clubs, yes.
Ah.
All right, well, I guess we're going to one. So, no, the thing I was trying to say before I realized I couldn't talk and I figured out what it was. The most impressive thing about Severn's whole 94 fight run or whatever is he's got one TKO loss.
Yeah.
Eight submissions, seven decisions, but the guy's got, I mean, that's a hell of a chin. You've come across 106 was 117 people in your career, and you've only found a guy who could TKO you one time. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. And another question I asked is, who did you think was going to be the first to get to 100 Jeremy Horner dance ever?
I think Jeremy's already got it.
No, Jeremy's got 80.
Jeremy's at 86.
100 wins.
Oh, 100 wins, right, I got you.
Well, I think Dan's, like, knocking on the door. He's only six away.
He's only six away, yeah, but, I mean, you know Horn. I mean, Horn can go on a burst.
He's been more active than Jeremy. He's been more active than Jeremy now, but if Jeremy goes to Mexico on another tour, he'll break 100 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So. All right, well, do you want to go to UFC 117 at this point?
Wait, before we do get to 117, I just want to make mention of the fact that here you are, you couldn't speak, your mic was off, whatever the problem was, and you were chiming in on all this, and did you just think we were ignoring you, or...
I thought you guys were cutting me off, it happens.
She didn't even notice that we couldn't hear
so
you.
So used to it, like, whatever. But Bowman's going, I figured Bowman just goes over everybody. Bowman's the runaway train of MMA radio, once he's the juggernaut, basically. Once you start him, it's impossible to stop him. I figured it was just that.
If you want me to shut up, you better call Jens Pulver. Otherwise, I'm going to go and go and go and go. But if you call Jens Pulver, I'll tuck my proverbial tail between my legs and hide in the corner like a bitch and go, yeah, you're awesome.
That was really cool.
That's awesome.
It should be mentioned that Jens was happy to give me the proverbial verbal smackdown last night. I kept hitting him up during the fights, bugging the shit out of him, probably.
Bitch, leave me alone.
I was talking to him, and I was like, dude, you know, you think Sonnen's talk is real, or is Anderson going to win? He goes, man, I was on your show 2 weeks ago. I already told you I ain't voting against Sonnen or against Silva until somebody beats him. I was like, okay, sorry. I'll leave you alone now, sir.
I'm terribly sorry for asking the same question twice. How dare I such a thing?
Yeah. I got more important stuff to do, like post on Facebook about how I'm taking out the garbage.
Yeah, I got to cut my lawn. Good thing I got my beautiful wife, Nika, to take pictures. All right.
All right, so let's get...
With my shirt off.
With my shirt off. Can't fight, can't mow, can't do shit.
All right, let's get into UFC 117 here. Or
where am I now?
Who knows?
Fort Myers.
Hey, that's in Florida.
Yeah, I'm in Florida.
That's a good sign.
I know, that's a good sign. It's not like you stopped driving to Cuba or some shit. Like, oh.
Exactly.
Well, I am driving to Cuba, and by Cuba I mean North Miami.
Yeah, it's raining so hard he actually is in the... Atlantic Ocean, doesn't realize it yet.
Yeah, he doesn't realize it because the rain is coming down so hard.
Yeah.
UFC
one. It's raining so hard that I think I just got passed by a green witch on a bicycle.
Yeah, no problem, buddy.
No problem.
Shall we get on with the UFC 117 then?
Oh, if we must.
Dear Lord. UFC 117 taking place at the Oracle Arena in Oakland, California. Starting from the bottom, working our way up. Dennis Hallman defeats Ben the Killer Bee Saunders by unanimous decision. Surprising.
Very.
And the score was a bit surprising, too, from what I hear, if I heard correctly.
I have no details about the fight, so I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't hear that much about it. I am surprised because I literally thought Matt Hughes was the only person Dennis Hallman could beat.
I had heard, and it may have been incorrect. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that one judge scored it 29-28 for Ben, and the other two had 30-27 for Hallman.
No. It's 29-28, 30-27, 29-28, all for Hallman.
Oh, okay.
It was a unanimous decision. I knew that.
All right, well, thank you for correcting my incorrectivity.
You should know better than to try and put out any figures on this show, Blake Bowman. We've got Derek Kenny.
If it involves numbers, he's on it.
Derek knows it. He knows. He's wired.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, sucks for Ben, but I'm sure he'll be back. I don't know what this means for Hallman. I really don't. It was so funny. I saw him on Inside MMA a few, about a month or so ago, and I was like, why the hell is he on there? I'm not even saying it to be a jerk. I'm serious. I mean, Saunders is on the rise.
It's like your arch enemy.
Well, not even. I mean, it's one of those people I could give two craps about one way or the other, but I was just surprised. I'm like, wow, okay, sure, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he beat a rising prospect. How fun fighting, I guess, Pitbull. How fun was that? Oh, man, let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I swear,
watch out.
You take a look at Hallman's record. This guy's like the king of like not having momentum, of just scattered wins and losses. It's like you take every fight he's ever had, just throw it in a hat, and then just dump it on the ground, and there you go. This guy's like his streaks, and you know, like he doesn't have a streak here that's more than 5 or 6 wins on a 45-fight win career. It's just all over the place.
See a picture of his face.
Do you think that maybe since he did beat Ben, that they're going to try to maybe set up the third fight with Hughes? I mean, I don't think that Matt's that interested in it, but...
Yeah, they might.
I mean, there's nothing else they can really build with him besides that.
That's true. You know, Matt Hughes gets to avenge the one fighter he's never beaten.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The one fighter he's faced that he's never beaten is Dennis Hallman. Even, you know, Hughes beat GSP, even, you know, there's nobody else. Well, I guess Pitbull, and, you know, yeah, there's other people who, okay, moving on.
So, yeah, that was incorrect. Okay. But
Stefan Mushmouth Struve defeats Christian Moorcraft by KO punches 22 seconds in round 2.
Oh, 9 unanswered shots. That's all I got to say.
Is that what he said?
Dude,
I couldn't hear it. I was trying to be in a, I was trying to watch it, but I was somewhere where I couldn't see. But there was, I was like in this bar district in Tampa, but there was like a Hooters, but they didn't have any tables. So I was standing outside. I couldn't hear so well. And then when I finally went inside, I was the only person there cheering for Chael. The only one there, and I got pelted and threatened whenever he lost by the patrons there. And I was like, none of you did that. Why are you in my face? None of you had anything to do with that victory. But
you should start hanging out at Fricker's, Bowman.
Yeah, and Fricker's was Chael Sonnen country, man. They were all about it. I got to hear such wonderful chants as "Kill the black bastard." Oh my god.
And you're living in Ohio, too. That's the worst part. It's not like you're in, like, the deep South.
Exactly. I'm in Ohio. I'm in northern Ohio.
Yeah.
What the? Canada.
My favorite one was get that anti-American fuck, quote-unquote.
So whenever you say chant, you mean kill the black bastard, clap, 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 kill the black bastard, clap, 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 clap. Is that what it was? Because I'm almost okay with it.
Maybe it wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty bad, man. I mean, I was one of the minority who was actually happy for Silva, and man, and the funny thing was there was like this large contingent. I don't want to just say that they were gangbangers per se, but yeah, they looked like arch criminals anyway in the corner. And they were all about Silva, so I just kind of drifted over to these guys. I was like the lone token white guy. I'm like, yeah! Don't get me now.
Oh, you and your white guilt pulling for Silva.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason. Okay. Is there another fight on this card, or are we done?
Well, Moorcraft looked impressive. We didn't actually cover this, Drew. Moorcraft looked impressive, but then second round, very impressive in the first round. Just pummeled the hell out of Struve. But Struve managed to use some very good straight punches, just boom, 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 in the second round, very quick. And man, there's very, very rarely when you see a shot that just literally, the second it connects, click, out go the lights. I mean, you could just literally see all the sense leave Moorcraft's head as soon as that straight right landed.
Yep, and then 8 shots later,
Herbdean
steps in. That was insane.
Well, you got to make sure.
Well, still, man, Herb is known to be one of those quick fire guys.
The dude's got his arm pinned back behind him, like no chance of protecting himself, whatever. Yep. Doom, doom, doom. It's like he can stop this at any time.
I sat there and counted 9 unanswered shots on the ground before Herb stepped in.
It's ridiculous to see that happen and then watch Herb stop Micah versus Grisby the way that he did. While Micah had half guard and was fighting for an underhook, and he stepped in and stopped right. it. While this guy is literally going to have to learn his ABCs again. And Herb's all like, not yet. Not yet. He hasn't pissed himself. There's the tinkle. It's over!
Well, like I said, it was very un-Herb like. Herb, to me, has always been one of those kind of quick fire refs who would rather err on the side of caution, and he'll jump in and break it up. And I was really surprised. He Rosenthal'd this one all the way and just kind of hung back and
Rosenthal'd it.
Yeah, well. All right, Tim Bodish defeats Todd Brown by Tim Bodish defeats Todd Brown by unanimous decision.
Hi, bird.
Johnny Hendricks defeats Charlie Brenneman by TKO punches, 40 seconds in the second round.
I like Johnny Hendricks. I didn't see this fight, though, but I like him. He made a real fan out of me whenever he fought Ricardo Funch.
Yeah, he's on a tear. His undefeated streak continues.
How did he look? Did they might say the fight
they
aired or no?
They didn't air the fight.
No, they didn't air this fight.
So.
He really made a fan out of me, man. I mean, he doesn't just try to be a blanket wrestler. Not that anybody else on the card would do that. Would even dream just making it a wrestling match, bitch. But or anybody else in the UFC nowadays. But the guy has pretty solid jiu-jitsu, from what I hear as well. That he enters like grappler's quest and stuff to tap people out, so they're just taking them down and winning through nothing. But anyway, I like that guy, so I want to see the fight. So somebody send it to me. Thanks, Matt.
Phil Davis defeats Rodney Wallace by unanimous decision. This fight also not shown.
Who? Bobby Wallace?
No.
Rodney Wallace. Phil Davis defeats Rodney
Wallace?
Yeah. Phil Davis defeats Rodney Wallace.
Oh, Rodney Wallace. Yeah. Well, you know, Phil Davis, he's going to do that, people.
Oh, Phil. Rick Story defeats Dustin Haslett by TKO punches, 1 minute 15 seconds in the second round. No love for McLovin tonight.
Yeah.
Mm. Boo. My, what a horror story.
Ugh. Moving on to our main card, Junior Dos Santos defeats Roy Nelson by unanimous decision. First round, Junior Dos Santos hit Roy with an absurd amount of punishment.
Uppercuts from hell.
Knocked Roy down twice. Roy stumbles around.
Like he does.
Up. Swinging back, yeah. Second
Roy
round.
Occasionally shot for takedowns.
Yeah, and got nothing. Dos Santos has some, you know, really, really strong takedown defense, it's more of Dos Santos picking Roy apart in rounds two and three. You can credit Roy for being a ridiculously tough bastard, but this was all JDS.
Yeah. Well, it was really nice.
The Mick Foley of MMA just goes out there and takes a hell of a beating. And
throw Roy Nelson in a wood chipper, and he comes out on the other end, like still kind of swinging, like, okay, let's go.
I was really impressed with Dos Santos at one point, because there was one point where Nelson had a really deep takedown. He actually picked Dos Santos off his feet, and Dos Santos swiveled his hips, caught himself, pushed off, and defended the takedown. I was like, how the hell did he pull that off?
Yeah, the fight between these two guys, me and Shooter talked a little bit about it last night, and, you know, Shooter's breaking my balls, obviously, because, I like Roy Nelson, but honestly, I mean, yes, it was not a good night for Nelson at all, but this is against a guy who could very well be the next world champion. He could be the Anderson Silva of the heavyweight division based on the performances he's put on so far. Maybe nobody stops this guy. If that's the case, that makes Roy's efforts look a little bit better. Because honestly, when I saw this fight, I thought Roy was going to be able to get Dos Santos to the ground. Clearly not the case. Dos Santos's takedown defense is much, much better than we was expected, and that's something that we didn't know until tonight. So I mean, really, it's looking more and more.
I got the truth, man.
Yeah,
that guy's real, you know.
The only thing we have left to find out is what happens once he actually does end up on the ground, because if he has to take on either Kane or Brock, he's almost certainly going to end up on the ground.
Right.
Right. So well, maybe not. But yeah,
maybe not, but I would be shocked. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, you have two people who are such high-level wrestlers that, I mean, no matter how good your takedown defense is against somebody like that, they're probably going to get you to the ground.
Mm. Yeah. You have to rock them on the way in.
yeah.
to defend their takedown. If those guys get in on your hip and they're clear-headed, yeah, you're going down for sure. You have to hurt them on the way in or else you're going down.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shooter, you mentioned earlier that Carwin is a possible name for Roy Nelson in his next fight. Unfortunately, you know, for me, I don't see that fight being much different than this one at all because it's going to be the same story. It's going to be a guy who's better in the stand-up than Roy. Roy's not bad, but this is somebody who's better than him in the stand-up. And if he couldn't get JDS to the ground, I doubt he's going to get a, you know, Division II national champion to the ground either. So,
not to mention Carwin probably hits harder.
Yeah,
Carwin probably does. But the thing is, if Nelson can weather the storm, from what I saw last night, Nelson can outlast Carwin. I mean, Carwin's whole body shot down with like lactic acidosis. But
That's true.
Until he gets that fixed, that could be a serious problem. So he could literally go out there and just rope-a-dope until Carwin can't move, and then Nelson could put him away. I mean, Nelson was
throwing. That's how I would see that happening, actually. That's how I would see that fight, because I think that Carwin is probably the biggest flaw right now in MMA right now. Because, I mean, he went into what's probably going to be the biggest fight of his career when it's all said and done, with just over 4 minutes worth of gas in the tank, and that's completely unacceptable.
Right.
And, I mean, if your gas is that bad, you're not going to be 15 minutes ready by the end of the year. Just not. Because, I mean, it's one thing to look like shit over a fight, but make it 15 minutes. It's another thing to give up completely 4 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And just have nothing. Have nothing left but just a head to punch. Or choke, or whatever that thing was that they're calling an arm triangle choke, that completely robbed our homeboy Chris Lieben of his well-deserved submission of the night.
Which is crap.
Anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. Moving on.
So,
Matt Hughes defeats.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Hughes defeats Ricardo Almeida by technical submission, modified anaconda choke, call it a modified anaconda.
Mike Brown choke.
Call it a inverted arm triangle. Call it whatever the hell you want. It was extremely impressive. And Matt Hughes hurt somebody with a punch.
Oh, yeah. Hurt him bad, man. Where the hell did that come from?
Well,
oh, and by the way, I want to mention here that I got into an argument about what this this choke was with an old friend of the show, Garrett Sandine, last night. But
still alive.
Yeah, let's go ahead and, yeah, agree. Call it a modified arm triangle, or as Hughes calls it, it's an old wrestling hole.
the first thing that hopped into my head was like an inverted arm triangle, because it looked like it was the same setup for an arm triangle, just in a different position.
Right.
American wrestling.
There you go.
American wrestling. That's pure Jeremy.
Yeah. So, you know, it just shows you that, you know, this is somebody who people kind of wrote off. And this guy's still really, really dangerous. And if anything, it's almost showing that he's evolving his game. He comes out in an orthodox stance when he's come out in a southpaw stance for quite some time, looking just primarily on the takedowns. He had no intention to go into the ground with a big dog. He was keeping it standing. His striking still didn't look great, but it's better than it was. And he hurt Almeida bad with a hook and
with
finished
a left
up
hand.
On it. Yeah, and capitalized on it. And I think one of the reasons that he did manage to tap Almeida with this is because Almeida probably didn't think he was trying for submission there. You know, he probably
if I remember, he didn't tap him. He put him to sleep.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But I'm just saying, that's why I don't think Almeida tried to defend it, really. Because I think that he just was expecting Hughes to sprawl on him, try and go for another position. So I don't think he was really trying to actively defend any sort of submission. And Matt Hughes
was waiting to transition. He was kind of waiting to transition while Matt went to like the referee side position to throw punches or something, maybe. But he ended up getting caught with a brown choke. But me personally, man, if anybody grabs my neck, I immediately begin hand fighting because it's easier to stand up that way.
Right.
But I mean, like I said, I haven't actually seen it. The bull is described to me. It sounds like what we all call the brownie choke, because Mike Brown has this really weird, like, the front headlock tie up, but then he kind of, like, sits into your hip. So it's just, he turns the opposite way than he would an anaconda. He sits into your hip, and it's like, it's brutal. Really, really bad. And that's what it sounds like. I haven't seen it yet. But still, I don't know what the real name of it is. It's the brown choke. Who cares? But yeah, I mean, they're all arm triangles. The Darce and the Anaconda, they're all just and inverted reverse upside down backward arm triangles.
Yeah, right, right.
And I like the fact that afterwards, and you mentioned before, you know, some people may have written Hughes off. You know, they're like, well, where does this put you in title contention? He's like, I don't know. He goes, well, what's next for you? He goes, well, I'm going to go hunting. He says he's done for the rest of this year, and he says between now and January he'll get with Dana and Joe Silva and see what's next for him. I mean, but he's not fighting again this year.
Honestly, Hughes is at the point in his career where I don't think he – I don't want to say he's not hungry. I just don't – I think he has other motives in fighting than the welterweight title at this point.
Shaming the Gracie family, perhaps?
He says he doesn't like that title. He doesn't like to be called the new Gracie killer.
Well, he's actually friends with Tenzo in particular.
Yeah, so he says he doesn't like that title, and I don't think that that's really his intention at all.
No, it's, I don't think so.
It's kind of the way it's working out. But right. Like I said, it's just, he's, you know, not only is the guy who's holding the belt right now a guy that I think Hughes realizes he can't beat, but... Yeah. It's the fact of, you know, Hughes held that belt forever. You know, if he gets it again, it doesn't really prove much. You know, so he doesn't, why, you know, try and go for that and get beat and get handled and not, why not go against guys who are up and comers where you're still going to beat almost all of the ones you face? You know, yeah. I think this is a really good spot for Hughes, and it just does show that, what are you talking about, wrong time zones?
Oh, well, I was just letting you know, figured
Conrad,
out why Cole Conrad, because he's thinking we're on Minnesota time.
Well, of course, because there's so many MMA radio shows that broadcast out of Minnesota. Sorry. God. Moving on.
Yeah, anyway, so.
Very impressive performance by Hughes. I like this position on the card. Not everybody needs to make a run at the belts to be effective and to put on entertaining fights in an evening. And
Chris Lytle.
Chris Lytle.
Chris Lieben.
Exactly. Chris Lieben.
Yeah, there you
most
go.
Most of the fighters in the UFC named Chris. Just,
Clay, yeah.
Clay Guida defeats Rafael Dos Anjos by submission half guard. 1 minute, 51 seconds in the third round. It was pretty apparent that Dos Anjos had a broken jaw.
Yep.
And,
oh, man.
And,
it broke by like three or four consecutive punches to the jaw. Not to mention earlier in the fight, he got kicked. Right in the mouth,
where the mush. Yeah.
High kick right to the face. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Second round comes around. No, this was in the third round, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was third round. Yep. All I know is, now this is my question to those of you who saw it, which I guess right now is Scorcho. I don't know if, Blake, you saw this one or not. Okay, Guida gets him down, gets him to half guard. Guida puts the top of his head into Dos Anjos's, like, into the side of his jaw and presses him into the cage. Now, do you think Guida knew what he was doing, or he was just moving for position and it worked out like that?
I think he knew what he was doing.
Really? I don't think he did.
I do.
I don't think he did, man.
He always does that.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I just have a funny feeling that if you're fighting a guy with a broken jaw and you're that close to him, you can hear his breathing, you can hear the way he reacts to every little thing, you probably realize that something's wrong there. And... you know, if he did, then I'm sure he took advantage of it. And you notice that when Dos Anjos tapped, he seemed pretty angry. And I don't know if that was just because, you know, you're angry because you're hurt, but or, you know, he thought that maybe it was kind of, I don't want to say a dirty tactic, but, you know, just somebody taking advantage of an injury.
He wouldn't shake his hand or anything. He had just brushed him off. And
you know, Clay does do that, but I think in this case, you could see him really dig his shoulder in there. And unless it's just pure coincidence, I think at least in part had to do with he probably realized that Dos Anjos had something wrong with his jaw. And that was, even if he didn't think that was, you know, even if he didn't realize, hey, this guy has a broken jaw, I think I could probably make him tap if I just press on it really hard. It may have just been, hey, his jaw is probably hurt. Let me see if I can disrupt him a little more and use this to get to another position or to set up another strike.
Yeah.
So I think it was more, I think it was half and half. But, like I said, he probably didn't realize it was hurt as bad as it was, but I think he definitely did it with the intention that this guy had something wrong with his jaw. Let's capitalize on that, and that's smart.
Yeah, well, no matter what, it definitely worked out for him.
It's smart, but the gouging, I mean, like that is borderline gouging if he knew the jaw was broken, which is actually illegal.
Yeah.
No, it's not. He wasn't really, I mean, it's tough to say because... he was, you know, he wasn't pressing like directly on the jaw. It was more like you said, almost like he was getting his shoulder under to try and advance. But
it was his head and his jaw, though.
Was it his head? I thought it was the shoulder.
No, it wasn't the shoulder. It was the head. He had Dos Anjos was at kind of a funky angle with most of his head up against the cage and kind of twisted sideways.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought he was just going for position.
You know,
I always did that too in wrestling. I know I'm sure Derek with his wrestling background.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, you stick your head in somewhere to control somebody else's head while you shift your body. And that's what it looked like it happened. And all of a sudden, Dos Anjos was like, okay, I quit. I'm like, what?
I don't know.
Clay looked surprised too.
Maybe, like I said, you know, Bowman makes an interesting point there. But at the same time, you know, if you realize a guy's got broken ribs, you're going to hit him in the ribs.
You're going to keep hitting him in the body, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
So, I mean, I don't know. There's arguments to the community for either side, and neither one is clear-cut wronger.
Yeah. Oh, I hate to go back to a fight, but did you notice how Junior Dos Santos kept throwing body shots at Roy Nelson?
Yeah, I know. Well,
he's
like, honestly,
blip, 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 and he jumped back out.
I mean, honestly, well, it was just because Roy had such a death shield over his face. He was just covering up for dear life. That's the smart thing to do. Let's go to the body. Bing, 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 bing. And
I'm just happy that somebody finally thought of going to the body on Roy Nelson. But anyway, okay, sorry. Yes, great win for Guida. I was surprised. I didn't think he was going to win. First round, he did not look real good. Second round, he definitely took over, looked really good. And it's ironic because the first round is when he broke the jaw. But I didn't think he lost the round, in my opinion. And then second round, Guida won. And I thought, okay, well, he's on track now. And third round, he got that submission. So good for him.
John Fitch defeats Thiago Alves by unanimous decision. Surprise!
Fitch does what John Fitch does, which is wrestle the guy to the ground.
John Fitch wins by John Fitch.
By fitching.
Fitched him.
He fitched him. Fitched him right up the butt.
It's very impressive what he can do. But at the same time, it's really getting to the point where, yes, it's what he does is impressive, yes. But
I wouldn't call it. I think it's talented, skilled, but I wouldn't say it's impressive.
Well, it's – no. The fact that he can hold somebody as strong and powerful as Thiago Alves down for 15 minutes and basically make him completely useless is very impressive. However, you're getting to the point where this is – every win he's had since the George St. Pierre fight has been a decision. And
If it wasn't Pitbull, I wouldn't have watched it. I don't really, and I used to be a John Fitch fan, and I don't watch his fights anymore because there's no reason to watch. Because all you can do is train one shot knockout power because that's what you get. You get one shot, he takes you down, he's not willing to do anything to finish. That's enough of a risk for you to get away and get back to your feet to try a second knockout shot that round. So in a non-title fight, you get to hit him three times. So,
unless your name is George St. Pierre.
If one of those fights don't knock him out, then you're just going to get held without a whole lot of danger. I mean, he wasn't even really that intensely trying to choke Pitbull when he had his back with body trying.
Yeah. I mean,
so if it wasn't Pitbull, I actually walked out the last 30 seconds of the fight. Walked out. I just stopped watching in the third round.
Like, and I'm kind of in the same boat you are, Bowman. I was, I really like John Fitch. I still like the guy in that I'll usually root for him against the people he's facing. But, you know, it's kind of funny. The guy's really kind of turned into MMA's version of Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah.
It's just, he is so good at what he does that he could just use it to win. But he's almost never going to finish the guy. And you know, he's puts himself in very, very minimal risk. And, you know, when there's so much on the line, you know, you've got bills to pay. It's tough to fault the guy for doing that. But at the same time, as a fan, you want to see something more exciting than, oh, hey, here's John Fitch. And he's got, I think it was this fight. I was falling asleep during this fight. I was literally on the couch, like, fighting. Kayla was out. My fiance was asleep. And I was getting there. You know, it's very difficult to... And that's the same way I felt for Paulo Thiago. Saunders was a little bit better. I don't remember the Pierce one, so that tells you something. But that's like his last four fights. I mean, it's very, very tough to watch this guy fight because, yeah, he just takes the guy down. He doesn't really work to do all that. You know, he'll pass, but he won't do all that much when he passes.
He doesn't really aggressively attack submission. I will say that he did at least throw some decent hands against Pitbull. I mean, you know, they served the purpose of getting him in on his shot, but at least he threw something like more than two shots at a time. But still, like, it was to the point where the Hooters was next to a bar where my friend who I was visiting in Tampa was she works in the bar. And so he secured the takedown on Pitbull in the second, and I walked out of the Hooters, and I walked and I talked to her for like 2 minutes, and I walked back to Hooters because I knew that I wasn't going to miss anything until round three started.
Yeah.
So I just left because I knew that he wasn't going to do anything where Pitbull could escape and get back on top, and he wasn't going to let Pitbull pull off another half guard sweep like he did in the first. And I knew that he wasn't going to finish. So I just walked off and came back for round three, which is pretty sad. Whenever somebody can do something just that obnoxious but still be right.
That's about all we can say about that. In our main event of the evening, Anderson Silva defeats Chael Sonnen by submission, triangle armbar, 3 minutes and 10 seconds in the fifth round. Anybody who's seen this fight knows the story.
I have been Chael's number one supporter, I think, going into this fight. And so I'm fully prepared to take everybody talking the trash that they're going to talk, and they want to direct it towards me because they can't actually speak to Chael himself. And I was a pretty outspoken supporter of Sonnen. That being said, now that the fight's over, I can break kayfabe a little bit. I don't really care that if either one of these guys being champion. I don't want there to be another take you down and grind you out five round wrestler like there is Frankie Edgar, GSP, Rashad Evans probably is going to be, you know. And if any heavyweights had gas, that's what Brock Lesnar would become as well. But he'll be able to finish out because they'll gas out. I would hate to see the Ultimate Wrestling Championship become five weight classes of wrestlers. But at least Chael fights his ass off as opposed to going out there, securing your takedown, and then letting that win the round for you. But on the other side, I don't want to see somebody that may just be so much of a savant that he bores himself, and that he wastes his time and mine. People were posting on like my Facebook page, say whatever you want to about Chael's performance up to the fifth round, champions finish fights. I'm like, funny that you say that. Whenever that's the first attempt to finish a fight that he's made in 3 years, but he attempted to finish Forrest. Other than that, he clowned around on people. People forgot he fucking even fought Dallas Lake because it was so boring, you know. And everybody else that, you know, and he didn't do anything against Maya and whoever else. I don't remember. I don't care.
Cote was the other.
He blew out.
Exactly. Cote finished himself, or else that would have been a five round snooze festival. So, you know.
Now, I don't know. People, I think Cote towards the end would have got desperate and would have probably tagged him.
Right.
That will start slow, but I don't know.
Maya got desperate in the fifth, and Anderson ran from him too. So
yeah, but I think Cote is more effective with his striking. That I think he would have been able to work into the point where Anderson would have had to swing back at him, rather than Maya kind of windmilling.
It should be mentioned too that Ed Soares, Anderson's mouthpiece, has also taken credit for, you know, being the people who caused the knee injury to Cote with Anderson's vicious pinpoint striking. So
right.
Yeah.
Yes, right. I made him step backwards just right to blow out his knee.
All right. Well, anybody who listened to the show last week knows I talked a ridiculous amount of crap against Chael Sonnen in an attempt to counterbalance the ridiculous amount of crap Chael Sonnen said against everybody he's spoken about.
Chael and Blake was talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people, I think people are expecting today, oh, well, you know, you got to give Chael some respect, this, that. No, I don't.
I don't have to respect anything.
Because you know why? Yeah. Did he put on a good showing for the first four rounds? Yes. Was I nervous that I was going to look like a complete and total fool? Yeah, sure. But you know what? I kept reassuring myself with this one little thing. Every time it looked like I was going to be made to look like an idiot in front of our entire audience. It's Chael Sonnen. He'll make a mistake. It's Chael Sonnen. Yeah. He'll make a mistake. He can't defend submissions. Silva hasn't tried a submission yet. He'll try a submission, and he'll get it. Sure enough, fifth round comes. Snap. First submission he really gives an effort for, and boom, he gets it.
Yeah.
You know, Warchael's takedown's impressive, yes. He really, you know, like Bowman, like you said. Yeah. Well, exactly. Silva got him on the ground and Chael reversed it. Yeah, he's an awesome wrestler. And like Bowman said, he fought his ass off. He's boxing ears. He's just throwing every single possible thing he can at Anderson Silva. And I think I credit his conditioning more than anything else. Yeah, he was tired, but he was always, always, always throwing something. And I think that was the most impressive. But at the end of the night, look at the fight. Anderson Silva spent 23 minutes on the bottom, and he looked like he had just walked out of the frickers that Shooter was watching and showing. There wasn't a mark on him. Whereas Chael Sonnen looked like he had just been in a car accident. Sonnen is impressive with his takedowns. He's impressive with his grinding, but he cannot finish. I don't know if his fists are made of goose down. I don't know.
Come on, man.
I don't know if there's some sort of protective shield around everybody he fights, but for the most part, he can't finish the guy. And when you have such
he trains with Jake Shields.
When you have such a big glaring hole in your game that you can't afford to go 25 minutes with somebody who can submit you at any time and not know a submission sense. And if you listen to the post-fight press conference that he did, you know, he said, oh, I'm not going to rest until I'm world champion. I'm going to work as hard as I can. You know, I'm going to do everything I can. No, you're wrong. And here's what I think, and I'm going to go a little Freudian here. I think Chael Sonnen is afraid of giving everything he has to MMA, because if he still loses, then he's given everything and he's still not good enough, it's going to drive him insane. Because he's saying that he's doing everything he can, but he's said openly about how he only trains, 2 hours a day. He's been at Team Quest for freaking ever. You know, I mean, you've gotten mixed results with the same crap you've been doing for 10 years now. You would think at some point this guy would pack his bags, try a different camp, switch up his training schedule, quit his job, become a full-time fighter, and really, really work, and he's not. And even though he says that he's giving it his all, he's not, and I honestly think it's because this guy is afraid that if he does that and he still loses and he's not the best, that it's gonna be too much for him.
Well, remember, full-time fighters are lazy, he says.
Yeah, exactly. He says all this ridiculous crap, but I think it's honestly just because I think if he had nothing else to go with, if he made his whole life about being an MMA fighter and Anderson Silva still beats him, then now he's throwing himself off of a bridge instead of mumbling into a microphone at a post-fight press conference.
Okay.
That being said, I was impressed with the fact that Chael went out there and showed that all his talk wasn't just hype. He did what he did the best he could. You know, did he come up short? Yeah. But he pressed the pace. He took the fight to Anderson. And of course, once again, the MMA legend Jenna Jameson was all over Twitter. Well, now they've shown the blueprint of how they can beat Anderson Silva. Well, thank you, Jenna. The next person.
Tito
whoever
can
gets,
do it. Shut up.
Yeah, Tito can do it.
So, Jesus, man.
You know, and the thing is, maybe that's true, though. You know, you never know. Maybe somebody – yeah, I'll tell you what. Before I saw that fight, I didn't think anything of George St. Pierre fighting Anderson Silva. I thought, Silva crushed him and kill him. And now I was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been saying it for a month now that wrestlers
– I don't listen to you, Derek.
DSP, Fitch, Poshchek could all take him out. That was proven last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, somebody with strong wrestling and an ability to put some power behind it.
Or just an ability to not get triangled the first time. You know, on the first attempt.
To be fair, man, it was at the. I mean, number one, he had to be feeling pretty confident. And keep in mind, I'm.
Well, that's exactly it, and that's why I.
Anderson Silva should have won that fight. I knew he was gonna. But to be fair, it was the end of the fight. Sonnen, I'm sure, was riding high on the fact that he had dominated it. I have no doubt he was exhausted, and he expended a hell of a lot more energy than Silva did, laying there getting you know, bitch slapped and, across the face.
Yeah, and it. Honestly, I think that's why Anderson didn't try it sooner, is because I think he was waiting for Sonnen to lull himself into a false sense of security to open up like he always does when he's
no.
in a, no, you don't think so?
No. There's people that are saying that. Go back, watch it, and pay attention to Anderson Silva's face as he's clinging to that glove with his hand. He knew. He was saying to himself, shit, I better finish this. Because he knew that if he didn't, he just lost the title. And that's not what somebody who goes, oh, look at this worthless, skillless faggot. I'll tap him out at the fifth after I let him beat the living shit out of me for half an hour. No problem. This guy is a joke, and I'm the man. You know what I mean? No, the look on his face was one of someone that said, man, this is my chance. Because I can't beat this guy on the feet. I'm the best striker in the division. This is my chance.
Right. No, and I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think he – I mean, there were some people – and I'm not sure that this is what you're saying, Paul. You can definitely pinpoint it here for me. But there were some people who said afterwards that were just like, oh, man, I have no doubt he planned it that way. He was waiting. Yeah, that's bullshit.
No, I don't think he was
That's why he wore out a gi with his black belt. Yeah, no, he wore out the black belt because Chael chose to make fun of him. That's why he wore
right.
a black belt out.
No, I – No, like I said, I don't think it was something like, oh, he's specifically waiting 25 minutes or whatever. I think in general, the plan, I don't know if it was the plan going in, but I think once he realized that, okay, I can't stop this guy from getting me on the ground. Yeah, you know, you want to talk about looking at people's faces. Also look at, you know, Silva's face when he's getting punched. He's barely flinching. I mean, he knew that, yeah, these shots were landing, but he wasn't really in a serious amount of danger. And like I said, you know that Sonnen is the type of guy who makes mistakes once he starts getting over-aggressive. And I think he was waiting for him to get over-aggressive. Now, he probably could have done it much earlier in the night. I'm not saying that he's all just, like, you know, blowing him off until the 23rd minute of the fight. But what I think is that he was waiting for the opportunity to come, and he realized it would come, and when it was there, he took it. But I think that's also why you didn't see him trying for a bunch of submission attempts over the course of the night, because if he did, Chael would have gotten smart to it and kept his defense up. He saved it off one burst right at the end, so where he knew where Chael probably wouldn't be expecting it, or at least it would be in the back of his mind and not right at the front.
That's the game plan of somebody who is okay with not being champion anymore. That's
right.
That's a very, very, very dangerous dice to roll. I'm going to wait until I've lost. At that point in time, he had been possibly 10-8 out of one of the rounds, and he was for sure down four rounds. Three for sure on the score. That's a very, very dangerous game to play. You know, you have to have a whole lot of faith in your jiu-jitsu that is honestly untested. I mean, you say he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I understand that he has one and that he tapped out Chael, who Jeremy Horn makes up submissions on. I understand that. But if you want to tell me a black belt, why don't you name me one brown belt that he's beaten in BJJ competition? Because you can't. Why don't you name me one jiu-jitsu tournament that he's won? Because he hasn't. So to say that he's putting faith in what's really an untested jiu-jitsu black belt, that's a dangerous game to play, in my opinion.
Well, what's the alternative?
I guess a guy like Chael, who if he shrugs off that submission, has now passed side control again, and you're done.
But what's the alternative?
The alternative is to. I don't know. Try to fight the rest of the fight.
You get in there and you throw your ridiculously accurate pinpoint strikes and you land, but you still end up on your back. What do you do once you're there? Do you immediately start scrambling for submissions?
No, you try to get on top because that's what wins fight. Or else you try to stand back up and do it again.
Yeah, you try
you're the
and
best
get
striker.
Well, I agree, but you try and get up.
Because you're the best striker in the division.
You try and get up. You try and stand on top, but you know what? You're facing an Olympic alternate wrestler who is not letting you do that.
I understand.
Now what? You know, I mean, it's a matter of, I'm sure he tried other things. I'm not saying that this was what his whole plan was going in. But I'm saying once he realized that he was running out of options, that's what he landed on. And yeah, it was a risk, but at that point, he didn't really have much left of a choice.
Oh, well, I mean, if we're saying he tried other things, but at that point, that's all he had left, if that's not the same thing as saying, I'm sure the odds are said, you save it up till tail gets overly reckless because he's too confident. There's no way that could be your strategy, and also go in and try what you can try until you have no other option. That's two different strategies.
Like I said, I don't think that was his idea walking in, but I think once he was out of options, I think that's
I don't think it was his idea until he realized that he couldn't win a fight with Chael Sonnen, and he had to have a one-shot, one-kill submission. Man, he could have knocked Chael out. He could have, but Chael just happened to secure the takedown. There was a point where he did.
Yeah,
Anderson did something. Whatever it was, he hit him hard.
It was a left elbow, and he really
like a weird left elbow, off a jumping body kick, or some crazy shit. That's the reason why you used to watch Anderson Silva. You know, good. You know, but I mean that just happened to be the way that the cookie crumbled, that Chael finished the takedown instead of getting laid out in a pool of his own blood. You know, and obviously, I believe that last night we were all shown that Anderson Silva's skin is made from concrete and leather. because I don't care what you want to say. There's no way that you could take punches and elbows like that, and he wasn't cut at all.
Nope.
And Chael was throwing some punches to look busy, some punches to do damage, and some shots he was throwing trying to cut Anderson and try to work a stop. And there was no dice on that one. At one point,
Silva did have an end swell on his face, and he was applying it to himself, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, you got Stitch Duran in your corner,
but you apply the end swell to yourself. Do you know why? Because his cut man couldn't even tell where he got hit, probably, because he had no... Man, you can say what you want to about people like he just walked out of the bar where he was watching the fight instead of fighting it. He got hit hard with sharp elbows and legitimate shots. There's something about his skin. Because, I mean, I've never seen him cut in any fight he's ever had, ever. Even fights where he got hit, you know? He's never been cut before.
That's true.
I can't remember.
Well,
either.
Great. That'll be in the next round of Chael's trash talking. Anderson Silva doesn't have real skin.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, you know, but try to knock him out instead of cut him. It is what it is. But, like I say, I stand behind Chael. He did... If nothing else, he did what he said he was going to do. And anybody else that's tried to fight Anderson Silva, that's tried to beat him to the center of the ring with their hands up to fight, you're looking at Chris Leben and you're looking at Forrest Griffin, and both of them got embarrassed. So he went out, took the fight to Anderson, whereas no one's willing to do that. They're willing to let him do whatever he's been doing lately. And, I mean, it was refreshing to see Anderson's skills actually brought out. And I think that a lot of Chael haters are going to be able to thank him for that once they're done cooling off from all the trash talk he did the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that for a change, somebody actually brought out the champion inside of Anderson Silva.
About time.
All right, well, I think we should talk the subject
next fight.
Next fight. All right. Well, we've managed to recover Cole Conrad because we've just talked for the time where it would have been the time that we called him in Minnesota.
I'm sorry, folks.
So let's go ahead and.
Guess I didn't make that clear to Cole when I set this thing up. Is that we're going on Eastern Standard Time?
Always use that when you're talking to people.
Yeah, I guess I should. I usually do. So.
All right, let's give him a call.
All right.
Let's give him a call.
Let's give him a call. So you have a point, Derek.
I'm trying, dude. I'm trying. Come on, not again.
Damn these Bellator fighters.
Hello?
Cole!
Yeah?
Hey, it's Shooter with Rings Radio. How's it going, buddy?
And good, how you doing?
Not too bad. Apparently, I can't tell time in whatever part of the country you're in. My bad. Sorry about that.
That's cool. I didn't think about it either. You said you're in Ohio, and it should have clicked with me.
Anyway, want to welcome you to the show, and we're going to turn the interviewing over to your biggest fan, Irish Derek Kenny, who happens to be one of my co-hosts. Derek, go away. I mean, go ahead.
Go away.
Go away.
Go away.
Guardian slip.
Cole, obviously, you've had a very successful wrestling career. But beyond your takedowns and your clinch, what do you think you've adapted best to mixed martial arts?
Well, I think so far, obviously, the ground game is my strongest point, but I feel like my hands are coming along well. In my last couple of fights, I hadn't really put punches together that well, but, you know, that's something that kind of comes with more time in the ring, but I feel it's definitely on its way. But I think so far the ground game, but I think the stand-up's really working its way. So.
Right, definitely got some power. Would you say with your ground game being very solid, would you say you've adapted to, would you say that your jiu-jitsu has come along very easily then?
Yeah, you know, I've been working on it a lot, and I feel comfortable with it. I'm very comfortable on the ground. I feel like I'm picking up submissions quickly. I'm really starting to notice them. You know, that, you know, learning the technique is one thing, but actually when you're down the roll and being able to pull it off is a totally different task. And I feel like it's really going well right now. I've had a great training camp up to this point going into this fight, and everything seems to be going the right way.
Well, since you mentioned that you feel very confident in your jiu-jitsu, how do you feel about your opponent on the 19th, Rogent Laure, since he has a very good ground game himself? Do you feel confident rolling down there, knowing his jiu-jitsu is very dangerous, or do you think you'll use your wrestling in more defensive stance and keep it standing, since you said you do feel your hands are coming along very well?
You know, it's one of those things that's kind of tough to know for certain until you're in there. I feel totally comfortable going to the ground with him.
Right.
Yes, obviously, he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so he's got some skills down there. I'm not taking anything away from him, but at the same time, I think I'm able to maintain position on top. I can control the takedowns. I don't see him being able to take me down. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be able to control. Everything I've seen on him is he's got some great submissions from the top, from the bottom, nothing too mm-hmm. impressive.
Right.
And honestly, I just don't see him being on top. And
right.
So I feel totally comfortable going down on the ground.
Just imposing your will in advancing position.
Yep. I mean, just,
you got it.
Good solid positions and really, you know, make him carry my weight, which is a lot of weight.
No doubt. How do you feel about being in Bellator's heavyweight tournament since you've already got two wins there in your back pocket?
Yeah. You know, it's something that I was looking forward to. There was talks about it prior to me signing with Bellator, and, you know, that was a big reason why I did sign there. I was hoping for the tournament. I just like the format. I like, you know, what it represents. It's guys that aren't necessarily supposed to meet up because unexpected things happen. So, and, you know, it's every 4 weeks. I like that. I don't want to wait around 5-6 months to fight again. I want to wrap off these three in a row. You know, I intend to win the tournament. So I'm looking at it as one fight every 4 weeks here, and I'm looking forward to that challenge. So.
Yeah. You mentioned that unexpected things happen. Is there somebody in particular you'd like to meet up with in the tournament, or are you just happy to beat up whoever you happen to meet?
Yeah, honestly, you know, I'm not looking ahead or anything. I'm just going to take it one at a time, and there's no one in particular that I'm looking to match up with, but I'm just excited to hopefully, you know, get three different fights in there. Obviously, I got to win my first one to move on, but I'm just looking forward to the chance to get in there and see what happens.
Now, Shooter again, man, just getting back into it now, we're going to kind of put you on the spot as far as that goes. As far as your training goes and everything, what could you see yourself really improving on? Like, everybody comes on the show is like, I have no fear about this and I'm not worried about that. But if there was one thing that you think, God, you know, I really need to work on this, what would it be?
Putting punches together.
Throwing like combinations?
Three, four, five punches at a time. You know, obviously I practice it, but I got to get myself to do more of it in the actual fights. I feel like I've only been throwing, you know, ones and twos, not putting a whole bunch together. And that's something I just got to let myself just go and just let it fly. And whatever happens, happens, you know. I think part of it leading up to now is when I'm out there, I'm thinking, which is a little bit different than how I was in wrestling. That's why I didn't have to think about it. I just, you know, it was there. Everything flew. But
right.
With this, you know, some of the situations aren't as comfortable to me. So, you know, I think about different things and setting the punches up. And now I'm thinking about it. I'm only throwing the one, trying to land that instead of just going out there and saying screw it and throwing five and hoping, you know, three of them land.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest thing that I need to improve on. And I've been working on it. I've had a great camp as far as that goes too. So I expect to be throwing a bunch here in this next fight.
Excellent.
Now, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned mixing up your punches as one of the things you'd like to work on. Now, you obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, you're out of Minnesota martial arts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mainly I'm out of Alexandria training with Brock at the Death Clutch camp.
So you're with Brock's team. Obviously, this is, you know, really the place to be for strong wrestlers. I mean, you could just take a look at the list yourself if you're listening out there, and you can see all the names that work, you know, with Death Clutch and with just Minnesota martial arts in general. Have you considered either, you know, doing a little traveling or bringing people in from outside camps to help you kind of work on improving the thing that you would like to improve on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I flew out and spent a bit of time out in Boston working with Peter Welch to work on my hands when I was down in Chicago for a while working with Rodrigo Comprito with his jiu-jitsu game. So, I mean, I have been traveling and working with some great coaches in the different aspects. So, and I'll continue to do so.
Now, have you made the transition to full-time MMA fighter, or are you still, you know, pulling a Shane Carwin and you have a day job as well?
No, I don't. I've trained full-time. I'm in law school at night. Part-time.
Wow.
It's kind of my little break from training. You know, I mean, I'm kind of a dork. I don't have like I have a TV, but I don't have like cable or anything. So really all I was doing was reading anyway. So I'm like, well, I might as well go sit in class and then actually.
What do you do to relax? Well, I go to law school.
I was going to say, yeah, I take hits and fighting. I go study.
I
try to beat people to death and then I learn how to defend them in court.
Or myself, as the case.
Yeah. Or defend myself.
Something along those lines. It's a good change of pace, you know, actually. So it's something I actually enjoy. So
now the remaining four fighters in the Bellator tournament, yourself included, all have outstanding records, better than the previous opponents you faced before. Have you done anything with that in mind, not only with the Laurent fight, but with the, you know, the future fight you may have in the finals? Have you done anything to up the intensity of your training, or is that not really in your mind and you're just going with what has really made you successful so far?
You know, I definitely upped the intensity. There's no denying that. I mean, I picked it up. I know that these are fighters at another level from what I've been fighting, and I look forward to that challenge. I don't put any stock in records, really. I don't care what someone's record is. It means nothing. I mean, I wrestled a lot of guys with great records, and I learned from that it didn't mean squat. So I don't care about records, but I've definitely picked it up. I mean, there's a lot on the line here as far as future, as far as, I mean, well, just from the financial aspect even, you know, there's a lot of things riding on it, and I'm a competitor. I don't want to lose. I don't go in there with any intention of losing. So I picked it up. I know I got a string of fights here that are going to be tough, every one of them, and because of that, I've been really focused in. So,
all right, now what's your average walk around weight? I mean, where are you at normally when you're walking around?
Well, before those last fights, I was walking around about 290, 291. I've actually been dieting quite a bit. I've been waking up about 277, so I won't really have to cut any weight this time around. I'm leaving practice around 272, so that's an easy one. So
cool.
It should play a good role in it for me, actually. I mean, not having to worry about weight is a big stress reliever. So
right, absolutely. All right, well, Cole, hey, man, want to thank you once again for coming on Rings Radio. We appreciate it. If you want to give any shout-outs or anything, now's the time, my friend.
No, hi, thanks. I'd like to give a shout-out to my training camp and partners and Death Clutch and the support that they've given me here. Other than that, thanks to you guys for having me on. Sorry about the time zone thing. I should have picked up on that, but it worked out.
Oh, yeah, it worked out fine. It was perfect, and it's pretty much the best way to end the show. I want to wish you the best of luck, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care.
All right, take care, Cole. Nice guy.
Indeed.
I joke about it a lot, but that kid really has a future. Very serious future in mixed martial arts.
I love it when he calls people kid, don't you, Paul?
Especially when they're older than him.
Yeah, that kid.
Which is almost every single solitary person he's talking to. It's a little bit.
We got to get John Jones on here, so.
That's true.
And I can actually say it.
We had John Jones on the show before.
We had John on before.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us.
Recently. All right.
I still got his girlfriend's number.
We got to get him back. I hear he's been doing pretty well, actually.
I heard he's put together one or two fights that he won, yeah.
All right. It's going to wrap it up for us. I'm done.
Okay. Anyway, be sure to go check us out at I can't believe I'm doing this. Okay, ringsradio.com.
And rearnakedradio.net.
Yeah, yeah. Radio.net, sure, why not? Also, go ahead and check us out at Unfiltered MMA, our friends there, OhioMartialArts.com, Ground and Pound, which is GPPMMA.com, FightMissionary.com.
Sorry, I screwed it up last week. I'm bad with the sponsorship stuff.
And you even play, this is normally a shooter's job. Thanks, man. I'm sitting here listening, and I'm like, oh, crap.
At least I remembered it this time. I think the last time.
You did, because you did the news and everything, and I was like, oh, man, he didn't even mention the sponsors, and then you said it at the end. I was like, oh, yay, and then you said the wrong one.
Damn it, you screwed up again.
It's like, yeah, Bob's Fightwear Clothing. Oops. Oh, no, they're not a sponsor anymore, but that's okay.
I love how we changed the name of our former sponsor. You can't even mention him in a joke.
Well, I'm changing because I'm still hoping to get him back.
The names have been changed to protect the people who may give us money in the future.
That's right, to protect the money. Oh, we'll see you again next week, everybody.
So thank you for joining us. Tune in. We should put it up right now, even though we'll remind everybody next week. We will have a show next week. The following week, we will not have a show. So we won't be
getting married to a woman.
That's right. To a wonderful woman. And I will be away from the show. So next week, we will be previewing the WEC card on August 18th. However, we probably likely won't be reviewing it because I'll be a little bit busy that weekend. So join us next week. However, don't join us in 2 weeks because we're here.
Well, join us, but we won't be here.
Join us anyway.
Listen to last week's show.
Yeah, there you go. Catch up. Take it, we'll see you all next week.